The strategies have never truly been studied in a randomized fashion, one against another. The big 198 trial will give us the first look at that sort of comparison. The real issue here is there's something that tamoxifen is doing biologically to the tumor that really primes it or sensitizes it to then profound estrogen deprivation as you experience with an AI.
That would kick in after 2 to 3 years.
After 2 to 3 years.
But you would know there'd be more recurrences during the first 2 to 3 years.
That's correct. And does that priming by tamoxifen, if it happens, and I think it's questionable whether or not it happens, great enough that over the ensuing period of time with the AI, you sort of catch up with the women that have experienced recurrences during the first 2 to 3 years. And I don't think we understand that. It is of some interest that the hazard rate for recurrences that are experienced in the women who are treated with an aromatase inhibitor do become lower the later in time the aromatase inhibitor is initiated. The question really is there really something that tamoxifen is doing to prime the breast cancer cells that then makes the aromatase inhibitor more effective? Or is it rather that the population of women and the characteristics of their breast cancer specifically, whether that changes over time in a way we would expect to make the aromatase inhibitors or any hormonal therapy more effective? And I actually think that there is a substantial amount of data that would support the selection bias theory that the population of breast cancers over time is changing. You would expect the endocrine-resistant receptor-positive breast cancers to recur earlier. And so those women are removed from the denominator. So if you do really have a sensitive population and an insensitive population of hormone receptor-positive tumors, you should expect, even if there's no difference in efficacy between the hormonal therapies, you should expect to see an increasing effect the later in time you initiate the therapy.
So for practical purposes, what would you recommend?
I typically discuss the use of either tamoxifen or an aromatase inhibitor as initial therapy. I usually present both so that they can understand how we get to the aromatase inhibitor. I think that also helps them put into context the toxicities of the aromatase inhibitors, that the profile of the toxicity with other hormonal therapies that are available, tamoxifen, terimifen, are not necessarily more favorable, and yet the aromatase inhibitors do appear to be more efficacious. I think it's very hard to have a drug that's so effective down the road that you catch up with a loss of 2 to 3 absolute percentage points of women in this context.
So if you were to see 100 women and have that kind of discussion with them, what would be the likely prescription they walk out with?
I think the vast majority would walk out with a prescription for an aromatase inhibitor, typically anastrozole in my practice.
So I think, in effect, even though you are disclaiming this by saying, you know, in a way we don't really have the pure scientific answer, your practice says something else.
My practice pattern is to lead with an AI. It is interesting how different expert panels and expert groups interpreted over time differently the emerging aromatase inhibitor data. As you know, the NCCN panel, within about, I think it was 10 to 14 days of the initial ATAC presentation, had modified the guideline to allow initial anastrozole as an option to tamoxifen in postmenopausal women as a hormonal therapy. The ASCO panel felt that tamoxifen should remain the standard hormonal therapy initially, but that guideline over time has also changed, and now actually the NCCN and the ASCO guidelines are almost essentially identical in terms of that. The St. Galen guideline, which is revised on a less frequent basis, now allows the utilization of an aromatase inhibitor in the therapy of adjuvant postmenopausal receptor-positive breast cancer, but still considers tamoxifen an equivalent recommendation. I don't know how to respond to that because that is not consistent with my interpretation of the data.
It really is interesting, this sort of U.S., non-U.S., or European split on this. Martine Picard showed data from a survey of mainly non-U.S. people, and the majority actually favored starting 2 to 3 years of tamoxifen followed by an AI, and there was a lot of hypertension in the audience there. And we didn't see that when we surveyed our breast cancer clinical investigators. And, you know, Iman Buzdar stood up at our Meet the Professor section the next day in San Antonio and said, this is all about money. They don't want to spend the money.
I hope not. It certainly could be partially about money. The aromatase inhibitors are substantially more expensive than tamoxifen. Still relatively inexpensive relative to the newer chemotherapies.
this issue of cost is a very sensitive one. We talk about questions on our series that aren't even relevant in Europe. I mean, they can't use Avastin for even colon in many situations. So it's a different world.